but it'd surprise you that that song was actually written off of a passage of scripture in Isaiah. Would it also surprise you that that passage of scripture was written about 700 years before the coming of Christ? 700 years. So the passage of scripture, of course, that we're going to is Isaiah 53. And we're going to start with verse 1. And I don't know how long we'll be talking today because that's literally my notes. So, all right. So Isaiah 53, starting with verse 1, says, "Who has believed our message? And whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a shoot, root out of the patch of ground. He was not stern, I'm sorry, he has no stately form or majesty. That we shall look upon him and not his appearance. For it wasn't attractive." He was not attractive at all. And it says that he was despised and rejected. Everything that we sang in the song, it's here. I'm sorry, I'm stumbling over my readings today. I'm a little nervous, but we're going to break that away right now. We're going to go ahead. We're going to go into prayer because we need to break that off. All right? Lord, we praise you. We thank you for the fire that you've already rained upon our service. And Father, we rebuke the nerves that Satan has set upon me today. Because, Father, the words that you have given me are not my words. For, Father, you are the Spirit that is going to fill me up this very moment. Father, I pray that you push me to the side and I stop stumbling. Because, Father, it's not my words, but thine. Father, I pray that you fill me up this very moment. And, Father, the nerves begin to crumble. And we begin to hear your word. In your precious name. Amen. All right, let's get right down to the main verse that I wanted to go over today. It says, "He was crushed for our iniquity. The chastising of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scoring we are healed." It also says that all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that was led to slaughter. Praise his name. Like a lamb that was led to slaughter, bruised and afflicted, not for anything that he had done. It was all for the sins of the future. This was written 700 years before Jesus was born. We sang earlier today that he was the Word in the beginning. We said the words, but do we think of what that means? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word, and the Word was God. Jesus was there in the beginning. And at this point in time, this is Isaiah, and it's being prophesied, and the coming of God and the death of Jesus was all written right here. It was Jesus looking down the hallway of life to this very moment, and to moments past this, and to moments past those, giving him the confidence of knowing that what he was coming for would not be in vain. He was ready when he came, as a shoot out of the ground, it says, he came. And he was raised up. And He was told on a daily basis by his mother, I'm sure, you are the Messiah. You're going to do great things. But he was assured by his father before that. You are going to do great things. His heavenly father looked at him and said, you are going to do great things. And I believe that in that, Jesus knew his true desire was to see us succeed. I know without a doubt that's what he had. So there were several different things that Jesus, or that God himself had led me to and had showed me, and my mind has went several different ways, and that's why I couldn't even come to write notes out. Because there's so much in this one passage of Scripture, and I know the song says it all, it says exactly what the Scripture says here, but do we think of the true meaning behind it? What happened that day? We say all the time, his stripes have healed us. But we instantly think of the fact that I am medically sick. I am physically ill. And that's what he healed. When we think of healing, that's what we, as humans, we automatically go to. But he's healed your past. He's healed your present. And he's healed your future. You are no longer, when you look in the mirror, the person that you see or that you used to see is not who you truly are. When you look in the mirror and you see the figure before you, you need to look at it and know that you were made in the image of God Almighty. No longer will you look in the mirror and say, I am the person that I have created. Because we've all done it. It says right here that we've all done it. Like sheep, we have wandered astray. But the Lamb of all lambs came and he gave his life that we could experience true freedom. The freedom that we're experiencing was bought with a price. And if you haven't truly experienced the freedom yet, then today's the day. Today is the day to take heed and to stand up and declare that I will no longer be a bondage of my past. I will no longer stand here and fall victim to humanity. Because 2,000 years ago, there was a death. And there was a resurrection. That's where I want to go next. So we're going to flip over to Romans chapter 6. And this was something I was praying this morning, and I said, God, I have this one passage, and I don't know where you want me to go with it. Give me something. And he gave me one promise. And we're hanging on to that promise today. And we're going to do it through Romans chapter 6, starting with verse 4. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him. I'm sorry. Our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who hath died has been freed from sin. We have died to our old life. We are no longer the person that we used to be. Why do we keep going back to the same rituals over and over again and allowing Satan to throw us back into the downward spiral of life and put us back where we started? Because we crucified that. We crucified it. We rose up in new life as Jesus rose up in new life. We crucified it. The addictions have been crucified. The depression has been crucified. The past is no longer what is going to define your future. As clear as a bell this morning as I was praying, and I said, God, I don't know what you want me to do. I don't know. He said, it's time for a breakthrough. It's time for a breakthrough. And I said, God, I know I'm ready for a breakthrough. I know I'm ready for something new. What do you want to break through? He said, it's time to just cry out and worship. It's time to get back to the heart of worship. Why do we worship Him? We worship Him because He's worthy. We worship Him because of what He's done. Because of the stripes. Every time He was struck. And you got to think of their whips. This was not just an ordinary whip. It would have had bone fragments in the end of it. It would have had glass in the end of it. Could you imagine the pain He went through every time that whip struck Him? And every time it did, I could imagine the words that came across His lips. I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. And I love you. Do you hear it today? Do you hear it? I forgive you. It's so easy to think of the words and think of the fact that we've been forgiven and to go upon our lives and come and sit Sundays by Sunday by Sunday by Sunday by Sunday and fall into this trance of, I come and worship Him. Is He not worthy of so much more than that? Is He not worthy of so much more than, I love you, God, I love you, God. And then we walk out of here and what do we take with us? The sick that's on the street corner that needs prayer. Do we take the time to go pray? Because God didn't do this. He didn't send His Son so that just we could come and sit. And He did do it for that reason also, but He did it for other reasons. This passage came up last night actually in conversation with my family. And it says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. What works are you doing? What are we doing? Are we asleep at the wheel? It's time to stand up in a newness of life, because when you died out to your sin, you died out to your past. And when you were resurrected and Jesus went to His Father, He went in our name, so that we could be free. And it says, these works that I do and greater. Let's think of the works that Jesus did. He laid hands on the sick. Saw them healed. He spoke life to the dead. And saw them raised. And we come and sit in a pew quietly and wait for God to do a work in the neighbor next to us. What are we doing to see that work done? We could pray Him in. We could. Or we could love Him in. Something else is flowing upon me right now. It's the world that needs the revelations of heaven. It's the church that needs the revelation of hell. What's that mean? We need to know what hell is going to be like. We need to know that there is a hell. Why? Because we need to be scared and not want our family to go there. We need to be scared and not want this world to go there. Because we should be given revelations to heaven. We are the world's hope for revelation. What are we doing to give revelations right now? And I don't want anybody to think that I feel like I'm better than anybody because I'm just as guilty. God gave this to me for this reason, because I'm just as guilty. I sat at a restaurant the other day and somebody walked in and instantly I felt like I was supposed to go pray for them. I have no clue why. I sit there until he got on his cell phone. Once he got on his cell phone, I'm like, okay, it's time to go. Can't go talk to him. He's on his cell phone. I'm guilty. But God gave me this to deal with me. I'm just a normal person like you guys. And I'm admitting that. We all have faults. If we go back to Isaiah 53, for we all are guilty of it. A couple weeks ago, I shared a vision that I had and a dream that I've been having repetitiously over and over and over again. And it was the dream of seeing Jesus nailed to the cross. And I was the one with the hammer. Why was it? Why was it that I was the one kneeling there with the hammer? Why was it that a couple nights later I had another dream and I was in the place of Judas Iscariot? God was saying, you're all guilty. You're all guilty of it. You all put him on the cross. Now what are you going to do to repay it? For I don't believe that you have to repay it. Don't get me wrong. God's not standing there with his hand out saying, give me, give me, give me. But Jesus did it willingly. And sometimes it's like pulling teeth to get people to come sit in a pew. Because we're not giving them true revelations of heaven. We're not showing them the joy. We go out there in the world and we talk about our sorrows when sometimes somebody just needs somebody to listen or somebody to pray with them. Sometimes the first act to increase their faith is the fact that you had enough faith to walk up to them and say, let me pray for you. Sometimes that's the one thing that's going to break somebody and bring them to the point of saying, I'm ready. And you missed your opportunity. Because you were too scared to stand up and walk out in faith. But Jesus, that needs to be our new saying. But Jesus. Not, oh, but Jesus, I don't know if I could go, but Jesus. But Jesus. I can't go lay hands on this person right now. I can't see them healed. I don't know if my faith's there right now. I know that they can be healed, but what if they're not ready to be? What if I'm wrong? What if I'm not supposed to go? These works are greater. Oh, wait, it's right there in the Bible. Why did he put it there? Did he put it there so it made something good when we laid it on our desk and people walk in and see it? Oh, he put it there so we'd use it. God intends for us to step into authority and walk out there and see people healed, to see the lame walk again. He intends for us to speak life into people. He intended it. And he sent Jesus here to show us how to do it. So next time you're questioning yourself and you're questioning, am I supposed to go up front and grab the mic and start speaking? But Jesus would have done it. We used to, about what, 1990, WWJD, what would Jesus do, 1990? Where'd it go? Did we stop thinking of Jesus? We started putting more emphasis on this. You know how hard it is to hear the calling of the Holy Spirit on a cell phone? Because I don't think there's service in heaven. Not that kind of service. It's very hard when you're sitting on the couch with the cell phone in your hand to reach others. Now, don't get me wrong, Facebook could be a ministry. But is it? But Jesus is. So often, we fail to understand that all Jesus wanted us to do was fall back on Him. Now I want you guys to think of something. Think of the thing that is holding you back from stepping into that full potential. Is it guilt? Is it grief? Is it sorrow? Is it a broken heart that needs mended? Because His heart was broken while yours was mended. By His stripes you were healed. And if you haven't received that yet, and there's still just a little seed of unbelief inside you, that you have been completely healed, today is the day to fix it. I go to a little group called Talk It Out Thursday on Thursday nights. The whole group's here tonight. But every Thursday we go and we meet and we talk. And I'm going to use an analogy that Lisa brought up. And what it was a seed of soybean, taking it and planting it. Once that grows, you have a handful of seeds, and you take those and you plant them, and you have more and more and more. And it all starts with one seed. Are you ready to pick up the seed? Are you ready to go plant seeds? If you're not, you need to figure out what's wrong with your harvest equipment. Because the field is ripe with harvest. This is the time and the season. Are you ready to step into it? Because it says clearly in Romans chapter 6 that you can step up into a newness of life. No longer are you bound by grief and sorrow. And whatever sickness is ailing you, He's ready to get rid of that too. All we have to do is step out in faith. I'm going to trust Doug to find me a song here in a minute and play it through. But I want to invite you guys today to come with me on a new journey. Because the words that God spoke to me today was that breakthrough was coming. What I didn't mention was God said it was breakthrough for Acts Church that was going to lead into breakthrough for Bedford County, that was going to lead into breakthrough for Pennsylvania, breakthrough for the nation. Breakthrough is coming. Revival is coming. New life is already here. Who's ready to step into it? It's no longer a season of sitting idly by, because God's already said that the fields are ripe with harvest. The fields are ripe with harvest. Let's step out there. Let's get those soybeans, or whatever you want to see your harvest as. And let's continue to watch it grow. I don't want to stand idly by anymore. When God speaks and the Holy Spirit stirs me up, I want to stand up proudly. And I want to step into what God has. And I want to see as many come with me when I walk through the gates of heaven. And if you haven't truly experienced healing yet, we're no longer praying to the point of walking up the steps of heaven and standing at the open door at the top. Today we are going to pray until we reach the top of the door and we open it up and we step through. Because the prayers that we pray, we need to continue to shake heaven. We need to continue to bring heaven down to earth. We need to continue to give revelations of heaven. Because right now there's so many churches giving revelations of hell. There's so many churches that are living their life in a way that it's scaring people to the point that they choose hell over heaven. And it's true. Like Pastor John said, it's been a couple months back now, there are some Christians that have been baptized in vinegar. Can't we be a church baptized in honey? Can't we attract them in? Can't we step up into the full potential that God has made us to do? I'm ready for it. Join me.